Welcome to Food for Thought. I am Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone. Hi.
Hello, hello. So do we want, before we start talking food, do we want to talk about anything going on in politics or no?
I'm just so sick of it. I'm just so horrified by the leader of our country.
What about, and
let me preface that, because I know we have, you know, on our national station, it's used to be a solely political station, and they have, you know, different shows now, and I know there's, you know, a great quantity of the population who love our president, but as speaking as someone who has had 3 personal interactions with him, granted it was many years ago, but I think they spoke to his character. And just this past week, his niece came out with a book. I don't know if you heard this.
Oh, yeah.
Basically describing his father as a psychopath and, you know, drove his son to, you know, be the psychopath that he is. Every day I am shocked by what comes out of his mouth. Every day, specifically with respect to COVID, I cannot believe how he blatantly ignores science and all of the experts in the country, specifically Dr. Fauci, who was saying one thing and the president says the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I'm horrified by the fact that he now thinks just opening up the schools, just willy-nilly, is all good. I would think that he would, you know, see what happened when, all these states opened up early, Texas, Florida, Arizona, and now they are in the situation that we were in a couple of months ago where the death rate is insane.
Yeah.
And horrifying.
You realize it's only a matter of time. You know, now our states, you know, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are kind of in the clear. It's only a matter of time before we go red again because of all these other idiots.
Exactly.
So,
and I posted something this morning. We had someone at work who refused to put their mask on.
Really?
A customer who was coming for pickup.
Really?
So I posted something this morning saying, you know what? It is your right as an American to not wear your mask. But having said that, it is not your right to then scream at a business owner or an employee who is trying to enforce and keep our employees or customers safe. It's just ridiculous. Like, yeah, you have the right to do that, but I have the right as a business owner to not allow you to enter my premises or serve you.
Right.
So,
yeah, the whole mask refusal thing is really, I used to think it was a combination of your IQ plus your belligerence.
Yeah.
Just kind of dumb and or super belligerent.
I mean, people are turning this into a political issue. It's not a political issue.
It's long been a political issue, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous. It's freaking science, people. It's germs. Do you know how germs work?
Yeah, but it's a hoax conspiracy against the Trump president.
I know. It's just insane.
Are you familiar with the Lincoln Project?
No, what is the Lincoln Project?
I think I'm saying it correctly. It's somebody invited me to join the page, and it's a group of Republicans, and I think George Conway, Kellyanne's husband, is part of it.
Okay.
But it's comforting to know that there are lots and lots of groups out there who are staunch Republicans who have had enough, and they're actually willing to let a Democrat in for 4 years. And I think that's all Joe Biden would even want. Joe Biden doesn't want anything more than 4 years, just to get through these next few years.
Right. And
a lot of smart Republicans who are absolutely on the same page. And I think, and a lot of them have expressed remorse in voting for him. You know, I think a lot of Republicans were, you know, they knew they were taking a risk, but they had a good feeling, or maybe he could, maybe he couldn't. And they're absolutely devastated now and horrified, yeah, as much as the Democrats are. So, right. Did you hear about his last quote and his last speech about, I think it's called Manifest Destiny?
Yeah. Manifest Destiny is a a concept that's been around for a long time, but
right.
What did he say?
Aggressive. So Manifest Destiny is something that happened. I forget who coined the phrase, but it was, you know, very long time ago.
And yeah.
An aggressive sort of takeover in terms of Native Americans, Mexicans, a very nationalist kind of mentality. And clearly over the years has been associated with a white supremacy posture. And so Trump used it in his last speech. It's like the dog whistles are becoming louder and louder. Like he's just blatantly coming out with shiitake is.
So we'll get to food in a minute, but I have to tell you, for all our New Jersey neighbors, I, like an idiot, attempted to go to the DMV twice this week.
Oh, I heard.
So the lease on my car was up in March. And finally, you know, when the dealership opened and I had to return my car and switch over to a new car, which I'm happy to report I'm paying $80 less a month.
Nice.
I know.
You mean you had to turn in the adorable red car?
I had to turn in the adorable red car.
Oh, I love that car.
I still have a Volkswagen. It's a little bit bigger. It's a Tiguan. What?
That's the car that went south on me.
What do you mean?
Tiguan. Remember when I was with you in the dealership? When I
Oh, that's right.
It was a Tiguan.
It was a Tiguan? Oh, yeah. I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice. You know, it's a little bit bigger. You know, I do a lot of hauling of stuff. So
yeah,
I
love
it. Bigger in the back. And it has a third row seat. So that big space in the back, you can fold down. So it's got like a little cute little jump seat back there.
I can't wait to see it. What color?
It's still red, but it's not my beautiful fire engine red. It's a little bit more burgundy, which I guess in retrospect, I suppose if it were the fire engine red that I like, it might look stupid because it's so big. You know, I think it had to be toned down a little bit. So anyway, there was a screw up with my plates. The dealership was supposed to put my quote unquote vanity plates, although they're nothing, you know, it's not a vanity plate. It's just the New Jersey Sure to Please, which is a donation to our beach to restore our beaches and dunes. So I've had those plates for about, you know, 15 years, 16 years, and I just keep switching them from car to car. And the dealership was supposed to do that. Well, they didn't do that. So I was issued new plates. So in order to be legal, I need to go back and surrender my new plates from the dealership and switch over to my other plates. So, you know, I heard it open on Monday. I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll just go there really early in the morning. I got there probably like half an hour, 40 minutes. And I went to the one in Baker's Basin by the Quakerbridge Mall, thinking, you know, not going to be a big deal. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even get off of Quakerbridge Road. The traffic was so backed up.
I heard it was a real nightmare.
Well, and then I went down further and I said, well, I don't need my car. So I parked like in the mall parking lot and then walked across the street with my plates and my identification and whatnot, thinking I'll just get online. The line was so wrapped around the building that the person that I was at the end of the line said that she had been there for 20 minutes, but the line had not moved at all, and it was open by this point. So I said, all right, this is stupid. I walked back to the car. I said, let me try in a couple of days. And I got the bright idea. I'll go to Flemington, because Flemington is, you know, usually a quarter of the people that are at Baker's Basin. Oh my gosh. It was on the news. As I was approaching on 202, The traffic was lined up. Not only was the traffic lined up, there were people around the building, out to Route 202, up Route 202, all the way up to like the dealers and circle. Like people had lawn chairs, tents. I heard a report as I was driving back. Of course, the local 101.5 radio station was talking about it. And they said people had gotten there at 11 o'clock the night before.
Yes.
And then were turned away. So yep. Apparently big, big shakeup in the DMV. I heard a press conference the other day. And they are now issuing numbers. And if you're not seen on one day, you'll be seen. You know, they're doing it almost by appointment. Finally. It's crazy.
So we should talk food at some point.
We will talk food at some point. Let's talk about what you're eating right now.
I am eating my first homemade pickles.
I know, I want to hear. And they sound super crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you did it, because I know I've done it.
Okay.
And I still have jars of it, like, you know, long processed jars.
Here's my Kirby pickle.
Beautiful.
Kirby cucumber. So I guess I didn't realize how easy it was.
Yeah, it's just vinegar and dill and garlic. And
so you take, and I didn't even have any dill. So I just, so you take just like almost equal parts of water and vinegar. Mm-hmm. In this case, I used apple cider vinegar, which wouldn't really have been my first choice, but that's all I had.
Right.
Okay,
stop crunching. We can hear you.
I know, but I have to. So you boil that with some sugar and a bunch of salt. Then I actually wound up putting in a few peppercorns and a few allspice, whole allspice.
Yeah.
And you just simmer that for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added some garlic. I had some chopped garlic, so I added that. And then you just slice up your little Kirby's and you throw it in the refrigerator. And
so, you're not processing it. You're just keeping them in the fridge.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, they sound delicious because I can hear you crunching. So I've done the full blown processing method, where basically it's the same thing that you just said, and you boil the liquids, and you pack your jars with the cucumber, and if you want to put extra garlic in there, you can put some cloves of garlic in there, you put some sprigs of dill in there, peppercorns, you know, whatever aromatics you want to put. And then you pour the boiling vinegar and water over. And again, you can steep other items in there. You can put more garlic. You can put whatever. I made some of them with crushed red pepper, so they were really spicy pickles.
Yeah, I did a little crushed red pepper.
And you pour the boiling water over, and then you process it like you normally would process anything that you're canning.
Right.
You know, you put the seals on them. You put them in the water bath. And I have some, God, we've been eating them for years. I think I have like four jars left, so probably going to get to that.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that you could just, I think I envisioned, and this is even after years of cooking, I just envisioned them being something that you did have to do the processing. I didn't realize there was a refrigerator pickle, which.
Yeah, well, think about how, cucumbers are porous. You know, right. You can do the same thing. I've also made it with, I've made dilly beans, do it with green beans.
Yeah.
I've done it with asparagus. I've made pickled asparagus. I've made pickled fiddleheads.
Yeah.
Really yummy in the spring. Don't you love a crisp fiddlehead?
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. So that sounds good. So what I started to say is like, think about how porous those items are. So they suck up, especially if the bath is warm. It sucks up that juice.
Yeah. I actually let the liquid cool completely before I pour.
Oh, you did.
Pickles. Yeah. And, probably because I don't know if I paid attention to the recipe or not. I just decided to do that. And it's really not even 12 hours later, they're pickles. They're really good.
Great.
So I'm psyched because I just never realized how ridiculously easy. Because, you know, if you get the fresh ones, And actually, you know, in terms of analyzing the cost of these, when you get a good batch of fresh pickles, like a quart size container, I think it was about $5 that I paid. Uh-huh. Now this, you know, the Kirby's are like $2.99 a pound. So let's say it cost me $3.50. So it's like not this incredible savings, really.
It's not. So do you remember down at the Stockton Market, there was that pickle guy? There was a pickle guy at the Stockton Market who had the most incredible flavored pickles. He was there for, I don't know if he's still there, but his were even more expensive than that. I think they were like $8 for a container. You know, it can be expensive.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that. At $2.99 a pound for Kirby's, unless you're getting them wholesale. I can't imagine charging less than $5 a quart. But But it was good. So how much time do we have?
We're running out of time. So when we come back, I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning. I went to the grocery store late last night, and which is, I think, my new favorite thing to do is going later rather than, I usually go very early, but now I think I'd like to go. There was like nobody in the store, which was lovely. And I've been up doing a lot of cooking. So when we come back, lots of food talk.
All right. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek.
Get started now and we'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
The Home Service Club sponsors this paid advertisement. Attention homeowners. Broken AC? Water heater? Pool pump? Fridge on the fritz? You need home warranty coverage from the Home Service Club. HSC provides coverage for up to 47 different appliances and systems in your home for around $1 a day, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote and get your first month free, plus $75 off your first year. 800-465-9181. 800-465-9181. That's 800-465-9181.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
So, yeah, I've been doing a ton of cooking. I like to keep my freezer out in the garage packed up with all of Uncle Joe's foods. I deliver to him one. I mean, I've been seeing him once a week, but I deliver and I talk to him like 16 times a day. But I pack up his freezer once a month. And I give him about 45 items every time I go. So he definitely has dinner every night. And sometimes he'll have something for lunch. And, you know, I try to keep my foods rotating out in the freezer. So when I get the opportunity, I do a lot of big cooking and packaging of items. And obviously I'm, you know, storing some for Mario and I. And we're, you know, we got a lot of choices for dinner tonight. So first thing I made was a giant pot of sauce, which I generally make the way my mother and her mother before her made it, which is with porcini mushrooms and button mushrooms, a little beef stock, and tomato paste, garlic, basil, salt and pepper. That's it.
Now and this is your
this is my gravy. Sauce? It's my sauce. Yeah, it's my sauce.
So it's always got mushrooms in it. So remember when we interviewed Paul Sorvino, and he claimed that you really should, not only is it not a choice, but you really should not put onions in your marinara.
Yeah, I think he's wrong. And I thought he was wrong then.
we were both kind of looking at each other, going like making the cuckoo gesture, like shaking our heads and going cuckoo, cuckoo. But ever since that, I don't put onions in my tomato sauce.
You don't?
Nope.
I always do. My grandmother always did. My mother did. I do.
Okay. So
started with a big pot of sauce, and I mean a big pot of sauce. Then I made sausage and meatballs. I roasted both, and then when they're about halfway done, I put them into the sauce. I made eggplant parm, which the eggplant I roasted in the oven. I breaded it. Well, you know, I don't really bread it because I just kind of sprinkle some breadcrumbs on it. It's not like thoroughly breaded. And I roasted that in the oven. And then I layer it with Parmesan, mozzarella, and my sauce. I made a really delicious, thought I'd do something different. Uncle Joe loves chicken. God, I make so much chicken for him. I was going to make chicken parm, but I thought I would do it a little bit differently. So I had a giant bunch of spinach. So I sauteed an onion, put some garlic in it, and I chopped up the spinach pretty roughly. And, excuse me, sorry, lost track of time here. Chopped up the spinach, sauteed it, and cooked it until the moisture was out of it. Then I let that cool a little bit. And then I took my chicken breasts and sprinkled the spinach mixture and shredded Parmesan and shredded mozzarella. And I rolled them and just toothpicked one little end so I could pull the toothpick out quickly. And then I don't really bread and fry things. I just sort of sprinkle crumbs or pat crumbs. Mm-hmm. And roast it in the mm-hmm. oven. And I put a little bit of olive oil on the pan. So it got a little bit of oil from that. And they brown beautifully. And then I'm going to, you know, when I package it for him, I'll put some marinara with it. So it's basically chicken parm, but it's like a chicken parm rollatini with spinach in it.
Right. I was going to say it's, what is that dish?
Salt and boca, you know, has spinach in it. It's got the prosciutto or the ham.
It's kind of like a saltimbocca minus that.
Exactly. Anyway,
it
turned out beautifully, and I think he's going to really like it. Then I also made a chicken cacciatore, which my chicken cacciatore is pretty traditional. With the exception of I put a lot of olives in it.
Okay.
So I cook onion. I basically make like a mirepoix, onion, celery, carrots. Mm-hmm. I cook that down. I put some garlic in. I put a splash of red wine in. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Before I do that, I brown my chicken pieces.
Right.
And I do whole chicken, so I do pieces.
Right.
Brown that, and I take that out. In the same dish, I then saute my mirepoix, I put some garlic in, I splash a little red wine in it. Sometimes I make it a white cacciatore, but most times I'll make a red cacciatore.
Meaning?
So at that point, I put a
red wine.
Yeah.
See,
and in the red, I'll put a couple of splashes of a couple of spoonfuls of my marinara. And then I put in mushrooms chopped up, porcini mushrooms that I dried porcinis that I have rehydrated and their broth from rehydrating, and black olives.
Now, I'm not understanding. What is your white version of ketchup?
It's just white wine and all the vegetables and stuff, but no tomato product.
No tomato product at all.
None. Yep. It's
so
good.
Is it cooking in any chicken stock or?
Nope. I just have the broth from the sauteing and all the veg and white wine. And it, you know, it makes its own juice because it's now being braised.
And I would imagine if you do the white version, you would maybe use a little more white wine than you do.
I use a little bit more white wine, but it cooks down nicely. It has a nice broth to it.
Because I had come a couple of years ago, I had come across a recipe online that claimed to be the oldest and most authentic chicken cacciatore recipe.
Yeah.
Basically, it was like an Italian version of coq au vin because it didn't call for any tomato product. It was just wine and the vegetables and the chicken. And of course, when I served it to my client, they were like, okay, don't ever do that again.
Well, that's a white cacciatore. Yeah, that's a white cacciatore, basically.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Then I put some herbs in it. I put parsley. I put oregano and I put rosemary.
Nice.
And then I braise it. I either do it on the stove. In this case, I didn't do it on the stove because I had a lot of other stuff happening. So I just put the whole Dutch oven in the oven for an hour.
Right. Right.
And really delicious. My house smells really good right now.
Don't you think up to 2 hours or?
No. No, because I've already browned the chicken. You know, chicken technically it takes like, 40 minutes.
Right, but I mean if you do it low and slow, I like
if you're doing it longer. If you're doing it super low and slow, but I don't want it falling off the bone. I think 2 hours it would be completely falling off the bone. It doesn't need that much time. And the other thing which I want to make, I went out on the kayak yesterday. It was so gorgeous out with our mutual friend, Karen. And she was telling me about something that she just made. And I don't remember if she said she saw it in the New York Times or she heard of it somewhere. And I know that you will love this. And I am going to make this week. And our listening audience probably is going to think they won't love it because it's got anchovies in it, but they are wrong. So caramelized onions, anchovies, and you just saute the onions until they get nice and brown and caramelized. You put your anchovies in and naturally they'll, fall apart, break apart. And you hit it with a bit of tomato paste and salt and pepper. Actually easy on the salt because you've got the salt from the anchovies. And the all-important pasta water. Like pasta water, if people are dumping their pasta and draining away all that delicious pasta water, they are just doing it the wrong way.
It's really a disservice. And it has, some of the more famous like TV chefs like Rachel Ray have really emphasized, tried to hit that one home. I still think that there's a ton of people that don't realize what a profound.
I mean, it is the key to so many awesome dishes, and just the silkiness and the creaminess, the silkiness, the emulsification that it adds to a sauce, and the way it really helps the sauce adhere to the pasta is priceless. So
right.
Good.
It just sort of kind of melds everything.
It melds everything. It's just a malt, that starch is so important. So can you picture this? Caramelized onions, anchovy, tomato paste, and just the pasta water and a little black pepper. And of course, at the end, after you toss your pasta in it, a ton of cheese.
Okay.
Doesn't it sound really good?
Yeah.
I'm totally making that this week.
Lots of black pepper. I wonder what would happen if you made use the really good anchovies.
I'm assuming you're meaning the pickled ones, right?
Yeah, maybe too briny.
Yeah, No, the pickled ones I don't think would work at all. You need the salted preserved
because
you want them to fall apart. And it's basically what's adding that unguisness. You know, people that think they don't like anchovies are just completely wrong because the flavor that it imparts is crazy. Which I'm definitely making that this week, which leads me to, so we just changed our menus at work and some really, really yummy items I recommend to everyone in the local area to check out chamberswalk.com. Lots of good stuff. But one of my favorite things that's on our menu is basically just like this pasta I just talked about is cacio e pepe. I mean, what could be simpler? It's pasta, butter, black pepper. That's it. And cheese. Four items, and it's so delicious. Four.
I can't even remember the last time I had it. It's not my goat. You know, I don't eat pasta enough. I have to say, I made last night another amazing batch of shrimp scampi.
Yeah. And
I think what I'm also realizing is important and that I like to do for my shrimp scampi is just, you know, take the extra couple of minutes it takes to do a little shrimp base with your shells.
Absolutely.
So I make the base and then I just boil it down till it's like really nice and shrimpy, you know?
Yeah.
And, between that and the pasta and the salty pasta water.
Yum.
What a difference it makes, you know? It's just
so
like
delicious.
And all I did was, let's see. I took that sauce and then I just took the raw shrimp and just dumped it in there and just let them cook like that. Like I didn't do a shrimp, like first saute the shrimp.
Right.
And then do the sauce. I just dumped the shrimp in there raw and then extracted the shrimp and then put in the pasta and then put the shrimp back on.
But, so here's the question. Did you put cheese on it?
I offered it to my guests, but I did not.
Okay. So traditionally, for those of you non-Italians out there, traditionally you're not supposed to put cheese on fish sauces, but I think it's complete bullshit because I love cheese on fish sauces.
I don't really enjoy it myself, but I realize how other people would. So it's like I have more judgment. I used to be kind of judgy about that one, but I can't really say that. It's really so subjective. You know, if you like it.
I can remember years and years ago, I was very little and we were in a pretty fancy Italian restaurant in the city and my aunt had zuppa di pesce or whatever, some seafood pasta dish. And she requested some Parmigiano Reggiano, por favore. And the waiter was like,
they were horrified.
Horrified.
I know.
And she just looked up at him over her shoulder and said, I like it.
I know. That's,
so now, you know what? If you like it, do it.
If you like it, knock yourself out. So we're running out of time. What I wanted to talk about when we come back, last week we talked about peaches.
Uh-huh.
And this week I would like to do a little focus on blueberries. I came across some interesting, you know, blueberry recipes.
Okay.
And I wanted to get your take on them.
Sounds great. We'll be back soon.
The Home Service Club sponsors this paid advertisement. Attention homeowners. Broken AC? Water heater? Pool pump? Fridge on the fritz? You need home warranty coverage from the Home Service Club. HSC provides coverage for up to 47 different appliances and systems in your home for around $1 a day, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote and get your first month free, plus $75 off your first year. 800-465-9181. 800-465-9181. That's 800-465-9181.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek.
Get started now and we'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
You're cracking me up, Laura. You are so controlling.
Now what she does. For our listeners, because you're crunching, you're moving shit around on your table, you're opening the refrigerator, I'm muting you.
Well, so now what she does, she mutes me during the break so that you can't hear my crunching. I should... Well, just truth be told, I muted myself at times during our segment so that I could crunch my ass off.
I know. I can see you crunching.
I know.
This is the benefit of Zooming. I can see what you're doing over there, moving around room to room. Gone are the days where we're trapped in the studio with our microphones and our headphones.
So
blueberries, lay it on me. I love blueberries.
The first one I came across, and again, I'm not going to focus on typical things like blueberry chutney and blueberry pie and blueberry salsa and all this stuff, but
right.
I came across something, blueberry almond butter, which I had never made, you know, to serve with cheeses and charcuterie.
That items. Sounds great.
So it's, you know, the typical, anybody could Google that and come up with any number of recipes.
Right.
There was a funny one. It was a little bit 70s, but I thought it would be delicious. And these were blueberry Swiss toasts. And what they are, and it might have even been from Bon Appetit, I can't remember the source, but you toast English muffins.
Uh-huh.
And then you smear them with some grainy mustard and a couple slices of Swiss cheese. You boil them, and then the fresh blueberries, and you broil them until, you know, the cheese melts and the blueberries are just a little bit softened, and then you sprinkle it with fresh thyme.
That sounds very interesting, but quite frankly, I don't know that I would like that, because I mean, you had me at the mustard and you had me at the cheese.
What?
And you had me at the crispy and the melting, but I don't know that I would like the blueberry in there as well.
With the sweet and the brining, the tanginess of the cheese.
I don't know. I'd have to try it.
Well, maybe because we're going to have to try that.
I am either a savory person or a sweet person.
When I was looking through these, I actually thought of that. And there's, for example, I have had clients in the past that really have an aversion to incorporating a fruit into a savory dish. So if you do like a roast pork loin with a fig chutney, they're not going to touch that. Salmon with a mango salsa, they do not like that. So are you saying you're kind of in that camp?
Well, see, now you just gave an example that just blew my theory, because I would like a piece of salmon with a mango. You know, I would like a sweet on
okay,
a savory.
So it's a certain thing.
In that instance, but like my mom used to make like a ham with pineapple stuff on it. Never like that. I mean, I like, obviously in cooking, we need our entire palate to be involved in tasting things. So everything you eat should have a little sweetness, should have a little tart, should have a little sour, should have a little salty. But I prefer to get that from the same like savory ingredients. For instance, if I was making my marinara, there's sweetness in there, but it's sweetness from tomato.
From the tomato.
Not sweetness from, yeah, I don't, I guess it's a subjective thing.
It is, and it might be something that you have to get past, because every recipe I'm going to talk about right now pretty much is that concept. I'm not doing a blueberry dessert. So the next thing was, this is all very appealing.
I would like it with the cheese, like the cheese and the egg and the English muffin and the blueberry. That sounds good to me. But when you have the mustard in there.
So it's the mustard that you didn't like?
It was the mustard that I had the combination of the fruit and the mustard.
Oh, see, I disagree. But
okay.
So here's another one. And these two are very similar, but I like the second one better. Blueberry prosciutto and goat cheese flatbread. Still having that issue.
For our listening audience, I'm making a disgusting face right now.
See, I disagree.
Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me.
That totally turns me on. The next one is a pizza with mozzarella, gorgonzola, bacon, red onion, and blueberries. Still.
Although, wait a minute. So go back, I like prosciutto with melon.
Right. Hello.
I know, but blueberry doesn't have the same.
You're stuck. No, you're stuck in your thinking. You are stuck in your culinary thinking.
I don't know.
And it's time to snap out of it.
It just doesn't appeal to me.
Okay. Blueberry chipotle barbecue chicken wings.
See, now that I don't have a problem with. I don't have a problem with like blueberries crushed up in a barbecue sauce. I've seen that. So that doesn't bother me.
What is it? Is it the boldness of the fruit that bothers you? Is it like
no? It's just the combination of flavors. Like I don't think mustard should be with blueberries. It just.
All right. Well, I'm gonna make you one.
Okay. I'll be happy to eat it.
Eat your words, so to speak.
I will be happy to eat it.
Okay. Now the next one is, and this again, I know I've heard of this in the past, but this is why it's always good to flip through some recipes on occasion, because this is a traditional Italian condiment, but I forgot all about it, so much so that I had to look it up.
Yeah.
Agrodolce?
Oh, agrodolce, yeah.
So there was a, what's the base?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
So there can be blueberries in your agrodolce?
There can be blueberries in my agrodolce.
Wow.
Because they're going to cook down and they're going to, you know, agrodolce is supposed to be sweet and sour. So it's supposed to have a sweet in there.
Right.
Mustard doesn't need to have blueberries in it.
Why not? It's tangy. It's a sour. Mustard is a sour.
I don't get it.
All right. And then the last one, and I have heard of this in the past. I've never done it myself, but there was a bunch of different recipes. But salmon with some sort of pan blueberry sauce. Now there were a bunch of different ones. Some of them pureed the blueberries. One of them I thought was interesting because they pureed the blueberries, but then they emulsified it with oil. So it was almost like mostly oil.
Right.
But it was emulsified, so it made like this
blueberry
mayonnaise, for lack of a better. No egg.
That sounds okay to me. I think I'd like that.
I think in certain, especially with it being pureed, and what's so fun about incorporating blueberries into sauce, it's just like incorporating, it's just the color. You get this amazing
and it's the flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm addicted to, I don't know if I ever brought some to you when we've had a party together. The camp that I go to up in Maine, there's a farm down the road, and this woman makes the most delicious blueberry chutney. And it's,
oh, you got, that's the stuff you got me.
Yeah. Have you tried it?
It was supposed to be for a client who canceled after coronavirus. So,
well, crack it open and get some cheese and crackers out, because it's delicious. I could just eat it out of the jar. Because it has cloves and cinnamon, but also onion and vinegar. And it's like a traditional chutney, but also with blueberries. I'm all about. Totally.
So other than that, so what are your other favorites with blueberries?
I mean, my favorites are not interesting favorites that you're talking about with odd ingredients.
Well, no, it doesn't need to be.
My favorite blueberry things are making a quick blueberry sauce. To put over an ice cream or put over a piece of puff pastry or.
Okay. I was actually thinking of ice cream right before you said that. You know what I think would be really good? blueberry ice cream with chocolate chunks in it.
That sounds delicious.
I think I should call Ben and Jerry's.
I think that's it. I'm sure they don't. They have a blueberry something. They have blueberry something.
Do they?
I think they do.
You know what we had last night for the first time with Ben and Jerry's? Yeah. Have you ever had everything but the kitchen sink?
No.
It's
I'm
like
kind of a purist when it comes everything. To ice cream.
Oh no, I like all kinds of crap in it.
No, although what we've gotten addicted to since Annie's kids were here for quarantine, they turned us on to these things called Yasso bars.
And what are those?
It's like an ice cream pop, but it has Greek yogurt in it.
Oh.
So they're like, you know, like 70 calories or 80 calories, depending on which variety you get. But they are the creamiest and the most, I've been eating the chocolate fudge ones like every night I have one.
So we should call Yasso and see if they want to buy an advertisement on Food for Thought.
We could do that.
Which, by the way, our advertising dollars seem to have kicked up a little bit. Who knows?
Oh, good. We have more people listening.
More people listening. So say it again. Yasso?
Yasso. Y-A-S-S-O, which is, I think, hang on, I got to look it up because I remember reading what it means. Yeah, they're really good. They're made with Greek yogurt. They have a million different flavors. Actually, I'm looking at a picture of blackberries right now, so I bet they have, you know, some sort of blackberry / blueberry. And I can't remember, but Yasso means, Yasso means hello in Greek.
In Greek, okay.
That's right. I couldn't remember. They're delicious. So other blueberry favorites, I make a blueberry cake that's really good that actually came from my friend Annie's mom makes it, and her Aunt Edith made it, and her grandmother made it. It's like their family recipe for this
fresh
delicious
blueberries or frozen?
Fresh blueberries, because they have a house in Maine, so they would get those tiny little delicious Maine blueberries.
Yeah.
And it's just basically a white cake recipe, but you toss the blueberries with a little bit of cinnamon, a teeny little bit of sugar. Mm-hmm. And after you put half of the white cake in the pan, you sprinkle the berries on it. Then you put the rest of the batter on top and sprinkle some more. So it's mm-hmm. It's a nice, like almost a pound cake with blueberries. Right. So delicious.
Nice.
Yeah, my go-to is I don't cook with blueberries often. I eat a ton of them though. I mean, I eat them almost every morning. I have blueberries in my yogurt. Sometimes I sprinkle some granola in it, and that is breakfast. And I literally could eat like 3 pints a day. I've been throwing them in my smoothies. So I've been making a lot of smoothies for lunch. Throw blueberries in it. Put a little scoop of Greek yogurt in it. Sometimes my new favorite is buy a pineapple and cut it up and freeze little packages of it. So I'll put watermelon, blueberry, Greek yogurt. It's delicious.
I've been getting into doing the, I don't do any fruit. I don't eat a lot of fruit. I should eat more, but with the Greek yogurt and flax seeds, like I'm on a flaxseed kick now.
You know what? Mario was on a flaxseed kick, and I literally have like 5 different types of flaxseed in my house right now, but he never uses it. What have you been using it? What have you been doing with it? Sprinkling it on things?
Except that to get the true nutritional value of it, you really have to grind it, you know, because the seeds will go right through you. So I got, it said that you can grind it in a coffee grinder or a food processor. And because everything is packed up, I bought one of those little tiny food processors.
Nice.
It doesn't grind them up. You know, you need a coffee grinder. So what I've been doing is
need one of the thing I have. It's called a bullet, a NutriBullet.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It'll, you can put a hazelnut in there and it would chop it up.
Yeah. I mean, so I've ordered the grinder, but I just was, there's a whole bunch of it in this apartment, you know, this big giant containers of flax seeds, which we inherited.
Right.
And so, but it's supposed to be so great for digestion, lowering cholesterol, all kinds of
circulation.
Circulation, so can't hurt. I've always wanted to go on a flaxseed kick, and now I'm actually on one.
Well, maybe I should start putting it in my smoothies from now on, because I literally have loads of them here. He kept buying them, and then for a little bit he was sprinkling it on things, but then it's...
But you should definitely grind them up and put them in your smoothies, because you only need like 2 tablespoons a day to get the medicinal benefit.
All right, there you have it. I will be putting them in my everything from now on. So it seems like this hour just flew right along. We're out of time.
Somehow. And next week we'll pick another another summer fruit or vegetable, like corn or
absolutely,
you know, we'll just try to scrounge up some obscure recipes,
new uses for things, you know, new uses for older, you know, fruits that you don't normally think of in a certain way.
Right.
This was great.
Like blueberries on fish.
Right.
I'm going to get you next dinner party. That's what I'm serving.
You are serving me mustard, blueberries, and cheese.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. We look forward to talking next week.
Thanks for listening.
Hope you all bear up during tropical storm, which is hitting us any minute.
As we speak.
I know. All right. Next time.